Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 7 Seconds to Die, a military analysis of the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War and the Future of Warfighting, by John Antell. Foreword by Alexander Kott. Narrated by Jim Siebert. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to maps and illustrations present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Forward. Learn and adapt, or lose to those who do. This is the hard calculus of war. Capable people die when they ignore the reality of the modern battle space, and the reality of modern war is changing ever faster as the methods of war continuously evolve with the advance of technology. The Second Nagorno-Karabakh War, which occurred from September 27th to November 10, 2020, is a war that military and national security professionals must study. This war was one of historic watersheds in military technology and methods of war. It was the first war in history that was shaped and primarily won by robotic systems. To be sure, machines did not win this war alone. The teaming of human soldiers with the effects of unmanned systems was crucial. The lessons of this war provide a glimpse of wars to come. As author John Antell emphasizes in this book, those involved in national defense have an obligation to study recent wars, derive lessons, and turn these into action. In this effort, time is vital, as lessons applied too late to make a difference become irrelevant. Acting in time, before an adversary can use the changing methods of warfare to their advantage against you, is what we expect from those shouldered with the responsibility of our defense. Failure in this arena ends badly for everyone, whereas success can deter war or win it. The author, Colonel John Antell, U.S. Army retired, is uniquely qualified to bring the lessons of the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War to the listener. Colonel Antell has conducted a detailed analysis of the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War and spent the past year briefing senior government and military decision-makers about the war and raising the alarm. He has completed his comprehensive and well-written review using a broad range of open-source information and applying his keen sense of military operations and military history to the effort. His study is a wake-up call that highlights the changing methods of war that government and military professionals should heed. Decisive wars are uncommon. In the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War, Azerbaijan waged a modern military campaign in multiple domains that resulted in the decisive defeat of Armenia in 44 days. Armenia fought bravely, but was neither trained nor equipped for the modern war unleashed by Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan overmatched Armenia at nearly every level. Azerbaijan, with extensive help from Turkey, unleashed a force of unmanned aerial systems and loitering munitions that disintegrated the Armenian air defense network, secured air supremacy, and then set about destroying command and control, artillery, tanks, armored vehicles, and personnel. It took soldiers working closely with these unmanned systems to finish the war, but the smart use of unmanned systems at a scale not seen before shaped the campaign. We should learn from this decisive war, understand its lessons, and use this knowledge to prepare for coming storms. Dr. Alexander Kott, Army Research Laboratory. Alexander Kott. Names used in this book for locations, villages, towns, and cities in Nagorno-Karabakh. Armenian and Azerbaijani names for locations, villages, towns, and cities in Nagorno-Karabakh and the surrounding regions are sometimes different. Stepanakert, the capital of Armenian Nagorno-Karabakh, is called Hankandi by the Azerbaijanis. This can become very confusing, and writing multiple names for each location is tedious. My method is to use the name of the nation that owned the area after the November 10, 2020 ceasefire. I have therefore decided to use the following names throughout this book for the locations listed here. Some of these use the Armenian name, and some the Azerbaijani. The names of locations used in this book are listed here in alphabetical order, along with their Armenian and Azerbaijani equivalents. Location name used, Agdam. Armenian, Ahdam. Azerbaijani, Agdam. Location name used, Dashalti. Armenian, Karintak. Azerbaijani, Dasalti, Dashalti. Location named used, Fazuli. Armenian, Fizuli. Azerbaijani, Fazuli. Location named used, Goris. Armenian, Goris. Azerbaijani, Goris. Location named used, Hadrut. Armenian, Hadrat. Azerbaijani, Hadrut. Location named used, Horadiz Passage. Armenian, Horadiz. Azerbaijani, Horadiz. Location name used, Jabril. Armenian, Jabril. Azerbaijani, Jabril. Location named used, Lachin. In Armenian, there is no such name. Azerbaijani, Lachin. Location name used, Madagis. In Armenian, Madagis. In Azerbaijani, Saguvashan. Location name used, Shusha. Armenian, Shushi. Azerbaijani, Shusha. Location named used, Stepanakert. Armenian, Stepanakert. Azerbaijani, Hankandi. Key acronyms and glossary. ADO, All Domain Operations. ADO is an evolving warfighting concept for the ability to integrate and effectively command and control all domains in a conflict or in a crisis seamlessly. All domain operations use global capabilities, space, cyber, deterrent, the nuclear triad, for example, transportation, electromagnetic spectrum operations, and missile defense. Battle space. The term battle space is defined by the U.S. Department of Defense as the knowledge and understanding of the operational area's environment, factors, and conditions to include the status of friendly and adversary forces, neutrals and non-combatants, weather and terrain, that enables timely, relevant, comprehensive, and accurate assessments in order to successfully apply combat power, protect the force, and or complete the mission. In the past decade, the term battle space transformed from primarily a time and space-driven linear understanding, a battlefield, to a multidimensional system of systems understanding, a battle space. This implies that managing the battle space has become more complex, primarily because of the increased importance of the cognitive domain, a direct result of the information age. Today, militaries are expected to understand all of the effects of their actions on the operational environment, not just in the military domain, land, sea, air, space, and cyber. Drone, unmanned aerial vehicle. EW, electronic warfare. The use of the electromagnetic spectrum, EMS, or directed energy to control the spectrum, to attack an enemy or impede enemy assaults. EW is often used to jam signals to unmanned systems. GCS, ground control system. A land or sea-based control center that provides the facilities for human control of unmanned aerial vehicles, drones. GPS, Global Positioning System. A satellite navigation system that determines the longitude and latitude of a receiver on the Earth by calculating the time difference from signals from several satellites orbiting the Earth. GPS is used to provide geopositioning data for most unmanned aerial systems. HITL, HITL, Human in the Loop, weapons system that, once activated, is intended to only engage individual targets or specific target groups that have been selected by a human operator, includes fire and forget munitions. HOTL, HOTL, Human on the Loop, an autonomous weapons system that is designed to provide human operators with the ability to intervene and terminate engagements, including in the event of a weapon system failure, before unacceptable levels of damage occur. HOOTL, HOOTL, Human Out of the Loop, a weapon system that, once activated, can select and engage targets without further intervention by a human operator. IOBT, Internet of Battlefield Things. The Internet of Battlefield Things is an emerging capability that will connect soldiers with smart technology in armor, radios, weapons, and other objects to give troops extrasensory perception, offer situational understanding, endow fighters with prediction powers, provide better risk assessment, and develop shared intuitions. JADO, Joint All Domain Operations. JADO is an evolution of the concept of multi-domain operations, MDO. JADO incorporates the massive potential of a truly integrated force, the focus of MDO, and updates the concept by incorporating joint and combined aspects for the conduct of future operations. Kill Chain, a cross-domain military targeting construct that connects sensors, shooters, and command and control nodes. The sequential operations of a kill chain are to identify the target, track, decide to strike the target, dispatch the force to the target, destroy the target, assess the effects. If effects are unsatisfactory, reinitiate the sequence. A kill chain operates at human decision-making speeds and at multiple echelons of command, using a human-in-the-loop command and control hierarchy. An example of a kill chain is the use of a human-controlled MQ-9 Reaper, armed with Hellfire missiles to destroy a high-value target. Kill Web, an emerging concept for a multi-domain warfighting network that leverages artificial intelligence to synchronize the Internet of Battlefield Things to deliver desired effects in real time. A kill web operates at artificial intelligence speeds, with human on the loop or human out of the loop oversight. A micro example of a kill web is the network that targets, tracks, and fires the MK-15 Phalanx to defend ships and fixed points. Once realized, the emerging kill web concept will connect with every sensor and shooter in a designated battle space and, once given targeting parameters, execute strike operations at artificial intelligence and machine speeds. LM, Loitering Munition, a category of weapons that are a persistent form of precision fires. A loitering munition, also known as a kamikaze or suicide, loiters above a designated area until it identifies a target. The LM then attacks the target by crashing into it. LMs enable faster kill chain reaction times. They can be controlled or operate autonomously. The Israel Aerospace Industries produced Harop is an example of an LM that can operate and function autonomously, searching and launching attacks without human intervention. LRPF, Long-Range Precision Fires. Precision-guided munitions, launched from land, sea, or air, that, when connected to a sensor network, have both long-range and accuracy. MDO, Multi-Domain Operations. MDO describes how the U.S. Army, as part of the Joint Force, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, can counter and defeat a near-peer adversary capable of contesting the U.S. in all domains, air, land, maritime, space, and cyberspace, in both competition and armed conflict. MLRS, Multiple Launch Rocket System, a rocket launching platform that can rapidly fire many rockets. SUAS, Small Unmanned Aerial System, small unmanned aircraft that weigh under 20 pounds, have a ceiling of 1,200 feet above ground level, and fly at speeds less than 100 knots, or 115 miles per hour. UAS, Unmanned Aerial System, also called Unmanned Aircraft System. The term UAS represents the entire package of components that include the unmanned aerial vehicle and the ground control system and the necessary equipment, network, and personnel to control an unmanned aircraft. UAV, Unmanned Aerial Vehicle. An unmanned aerial vehicle, commonly called a drone, is an unmanned aircraft. UAVs are the flying component of an unmanned aerial system. UCAV, UCAV, Unmanned Combat Aerial Vehicle. An unmanned combat aerial vehicle is an unmanned aerial vehicle that is used for intelligence, surveillance, target acquisitions and reconnaissance, and carries ordnance such as anti-tank guided missiles and or bombs on hardpoints for drone strikes. Introduction. Why the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War is important. War is a matter of speed. Speed in decision, action, and coordination. And speed wins war. Speed is the most powerful weapon of war. Speeding up the kill chain is the essence of modern war. Colonel John Antell, U.S. Army retired, in an address to the U.S. Army Fires Command Center of Excellence at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, September 2, 2021. Foresight is a human quality in great demand today. Foresight is the ability to fix problems in the short term and develop solutions for the long run. We need leaders with foresight in our rapidly changing world. We particularly need leaders who can execute foresight in military affairs. Warfare consists of both principles and methods. Today, we desperately require leaders with the foresight to understand the unchanging principles of war and the ever-changing methods of war. If you learn only methods, Ralph Waldo Emerson once famously said, you'll be tied to your methods. But if you learn principles, you can devise your own methods. Methods are many and always change. Principles are few and remain constant. This is the difference between a chef and a cook. The cook wants the recipe and knows only the methods. The chef understands the principles and masters the methods to create something new and amazing. In short, the chef has mastered the recipe to make a meal for one person, or can create a culinary delight for a huge multi-course banquet. Expert chefs develop foresight. War is a timeless paradox. While its principles remain unchanged, its goals, ways, and means are constantly evolving, requiring practitioners to study the changing methods to improve, upgrade, and prepare for the next conflict, or risk ignominious defeat. The principles of war outlined by Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese author of The Art of War written around the 5th century BC, are as relevant today in the information age as when war was waged with muscle power, spears, and swords. The principles of strategy, operational art, and tactics of the Peloponnesian War, for example, fought between Athens and Sparta, 431 to 405 BC, can also provide insights for current conflicts, despite a myriad of conditions, not the least of which is technology, forcing means and methods to constantly change and adapt. War is the use of violence to achieve some purpose through a correlation of goals, ways, and means. according to Karl von Clausewitz, war is not merely an act of policy, but a true political instrument, a continuation of political intercourse carried on with other means. The political object is the goal. War is the means of reaching it. And means can never be considered in isolation from their purpose. Today, the means of warfare, often referred to as the methods of war, are changing fast. Exponential technological growth in computing power and the micro-miniaturization of components is accelerating this trend. Keeping up with the changing methods of war requires focus and study. To understand how these exponential developments impact the changing methods of war requires study in breadth and depth. Recent conflicts can provide vital insights and are therefore important to examine. The second Nagorno-Karabakh war that occurred in the second half of 2020 is such a conflict and a pivotal event worthy of investigation. This war requires in-depth study by military professionals and those involved in national defense. We ignore this war and the lessons we can derive from it at our peril. From late September 2020, in the mountainous region of the Caucasus called Nagorno-Karabakh, a war was fought between Azerbaijan and Armenia that provided a glimpse of conflicts to come. This was not only a war between medium powers with fully developed military forces. It was also a decisive military conflict. It resulted in a complete military victory for Azerbaijan. Decisive wars are rare. In 44 days, Azerbaijan conducted a multidimensional military campaign that ended in an indisputable military victory against a near equally matched foe holding defensive positions in mountainous terrain. Conducted amid the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic and during the run-up to a major presidential election in the United States, which held the focus of much of the world, few people in the West paid attention to this far-off conflict. This is unfortunate, for the war waged in Nagorno-Karabakh was a watershed. The second Nagorno-Karabakh war was the first war in history won primarily by robotic systems. It is a dramatic harbinger of the dawn of unmanned, intelligent machine warfare. The title of this book, 7 Seconds to Die, was derived from a comment made by an anonymous Armenian soldier who said that when they heard the enemy's Israeli-made Harop loitering munitions flying overhead, they had 7 seconds to run or die. 7 seconds is a remarkably short time for a semi-autonomous weapon system to identify the target, verify a match with its targeting parameters, and strike. Speed is the essential element of war, as speed wins time. Time is equal to all sides. The combatant that wins time wins the battle. In a war where unmanned systems can find and then strike in 7 seconds, the opponent can do nothing but run or die. The side with this capability gains a tremendous physical and morale advantage. Throughout the battle space, Armenian tanks, air defense systems, artillery, command posts, and soldiers were hit and destroyed by top attack munitions, many of them autonomous. For the Armenians, whose air defense was either destroyed or ineffective, there was no way to stop the attackers. It did not matter if their positions were camouflaged or not. It did not matter if they were moving or stationary or whether it was day or night. When they rushed inside their bunkers for protection, the loitering munitions would follow them into the entrance and explode. There was no rest and no safe places. The Armenians had nowhere to hide and nowhere to run. They could not mask from the enemy's machines. They were slaughtered at machine speeds. Asking tough questions is the key to gaining insight. Answering those questions is the key to developing foresight. 7 Seconds to Die identifies key combat trends from a careful study of the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War, and then uses those changing methods to generate questions relevant to the development of military technology and war. These questions also provide the elements for the creation of case studies to test future concepts in thought experiments, war games, and simulations against a full spectrum of military events. It seems self-evident that if we ignore the lessons of the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War and assume through hubris or cultural bias that this conflict is not worthy of our study, we will pay for our ignorance in blood and treasure. Learning from other conflicts is the most effectual means of gaining insights at low cost and without risk. It is the key to choosing either technological stagnation or breakthrough, blindness or foresight. 7 Seconds to Die is a book that uses open-source information about the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War to discover lessons that have applicability to future military operations. This book uses the conflict as a jumping-off point to peer into the future of warfare. Every war has its unique elements, and any system that generates an advantage in one conflict can be countered in the next. Not studying how this was won, however, almost guarantees those unheeded lessons will have to be relearned in blood in the next conflict. Learning these lessons and preparing in time to deter or win the next conflict is what is at stake. War is changing, and the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War offers vital insights into the nature of multi-domain combat. The nature of war, as explained by Sun Tzu, Thucydides, and Clausewitz, is the submission of the enemy as quickly and efficiently as possible, and is intended to advance political objectives. Azerbaijan achieved its political objectives by waging a decisive military campaign using new methods of war and timeless principles. The methods of warfare used in the Second Nagorno-Karabakh War should not be overestimated or underestimated. The war did not usher in an era that ended combined weapons operations, nor did it announce the death of the tank. It does, however, provide a glimpse into unmanned systems combat as no other conflict ever has. The lessons from this war are therefore instructive and prescient. Military professionals, government leaders, and informed citizens should be aware of these lessons, contemplate their significance, and take appropriate action. We need leaders with foresight. The intent of this book is to assist you in that journey. John Antell, September 2021. Chapter 1. Preparation for War. It is better to be wise after the event than not wise at all, and wisdom after one event may lead to wisdom before another. Sir John C. Slusser, Air Power and Armies. There is a Russian saying that applies to the Caucasus: two bears don't live in one lair. An American version of this might be, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. This was the crux of the problem between Christian Armenia and Muslim Azerbaijan in 1988 as the Soviet Union dissolved. Armenians and Azerbaijanis both coveted the same lair, Nagorno-Karabakh. They called most of the same places by different, culturally possessive names, and they were willing to kill to own it. Nagorno-Karabakh is a landlocked, kidney-bean-shaped mountainous region situated between Armenia and Azerbaijan in the southern Caucasus. In Persian, Kara means dark or black, and bagh, refers to garden, so black garden. In Russian, Nagorno-Karabakh, translates as mountainous Karabakh. The area was named the Republic of Artsakh by Armenians after the First War, as Artsakh was the original name of the ancient Armenian Kingdom's 10th province. The Nagorno-Karabakh Mountains dominate the Aras Valley to the south and southeast, and overlook the lower ground to the east that runs to Baku.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?